Let me invite you to stand with me this morning as we hear the gospel lesson. We join one final time Bartimaeus at the gates of Jericho, learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Hear then God's word. And they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us, you have summoned us. Help us to abandon all and follow you. And for this, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Let's be seated together. Some months ago, I was engaged in that remarkable spectator sport called channel surfing and came across a program I had not seen before called Storage Wars. I was hooked. I really liked that program. I kept wanting to find a storage unit of my own to bid on, though I was pretty sure that Dave Hester would bid me up and then leave me hanging with stuff that I would never get any cash for. But the whole time that I was watching this, it started making me wonder what kind of storage unit the disciples might have thrown together. Kind of things they might have had in it. Things that were, in one way, valuable, at least to someone, but really couldn't be taken along for the journey. And maybe in there you'd find fish nets from James and John. And maybe you'd find an old water pitcher from a Samaritan woman that she left behind because she didn't need it anymore. She had bigger business to do back in town telling other people about the Messiah she'd met. Maybe you'd see laying in a corner an old tattered and ragged coat, the kind of coat that belonged to the kind of man that you heard about in the epistle lesson today in James, a poor man, a beggar, the kind of coat that was tattered and with holes and left aside. And if you picked it up with all of its filth and asked, "Where did this come from?" they'd have told you, "Well, yeah, that was the coat of Bartimaeus. He was sitting at the gate of Jericho, and when Jesus called him, he threw it aside. And he got up, came to Christ, and he followed him, and he never came back for it. Just like the woman never came back for the pitcher, and James and John never came back for the nets. I've never met anybody, any follower of Jesus, who, when Christ summoned them, didn't discover that being a follower of Jesus involved leaving some things behind. Here in Mark's gospel, we discover that for this man, Bartimaeus, he never gave it another thought. It says here in verse 50, he threw off his cloak and he sprang up and he came to Jesus. I don't know how or when, in what manner, or through what person Jesus first summoned you. Maybe it was through a parent. Maybe it was through a preacher, a pastor. Maybe it was through a Sunday school teacher or an instructor at your school. But somewhere along the way, Jesus spoke through the voice of someone you knew. He called you. And when he did, something happened inside of you, and you got up, just like Bartimaeus did, and in faith, you came to Jesus, and you left some things behind. Because to follow Jesus means that you suddenly put a completely different estimate on all of the things that we were holding on to. All of the things that we once counted as precious, now we can leave beside the way. We can let somebody else collect it all up. And we can say amen to the words of that remarkable martyr missionary, Jim Elliot, who was killed and cannibalized by those he went to serve, who before he went said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." There is a different measure that we suddenly give to those things that we once thought were precious. Paul put it this way, "All those things that were gain to me, I count as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus." He knew that to be a disciple meant leaving some things behind. In fact, he went on to say, "I count all of those things as dung." As, here's the Greek word he used, skubalon. The English translates it as dung. That's kind of polite. In Paul's day, Roman chariots had bumper stickers on the back that said, "Skubalon happens." That's what Paul said was the treasure everyone else is going after. More often than not, we make an idol out of Jesus, a false Jesus, turning him into someone whose only purpose is to somehow increase us, make our life more convenient. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to leave everything behind. And in Bartimaeus' dirty cloak, you find the fullness of everything we're leaving behind. Things that the world might even count as precious. Things that you or I might have thought were so valuable. Those things we take and we cast aside in view of the surpassing value of Jesus. And where was he going? It says here in the text that when Bartimaeus came to Christ, that the Lord said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Rabbi, I need my vision back. I need to have it restored." And Jesus healed him. And here's the way it went. Jesus, it says in verse 52, said to him, "Go your way." You literally could translate that. Jesus was saying to Bartimaeus, "Go away. Go on. Your faith has made you whole." He gave to Bartimaeus the opportunity to go anywhere he wanted. Just go on. It reminds us of Augustine's words, "Love God and do what you want." And well, that kind of sounds contradictory. How can you say you love the Lord and then just go do what you want? But of course, if you love the Lord, what you want looks a little different than what it used to. And so your new want is shaped by a love which is eternal, that belongs to Christ. And Bartimaeus, given his liberty, go anywhere you want, decides here to follow Christ. It says that Bartimaeus recovered his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. He followed him on down the road. Chapter 11, verse 1, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him. Where were they going? Well, they were going to Jerusalem. That's where they were going. Because to be a disciple means involving following Jesus into something you don't even know about. Embracing an unknown future. You know, because you know the story. You've heard it 100 times. You know what's coming. This is Palm Sunday. Jesus sends two disciples ahead, and they're going to go into Jerusalem, and he says, when you get there, you're going to find a donkey tied up, and I want you to untie it and bring it to me. And if anybody says, what are you doing? Tell them the Lord needs it. Now, we've read that a thousand times. You've heard it a thousand times. We just go right on past it. But that's a little bit like the Lord coming to you and saying, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over to the parking lot at Whole Foods. And that, see that Mercedes that's parked there? I want you to get in it and turn it on and start to pull out. And if anybody says to you, what are you doing with the Mercedes? Tell them Jesus needs it. And sure enough, that's what happened. The guys are untying the donkey, and somebody comes up to him and says, what are you doing with that? I love this. I have always imagined the disciples kind of going, what did he say? The Lord needs it. And the guy said, oh, okay, go on. Being a disciple means you're always asking this question. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? You get yourself into situations you didn't plan on. Bartimaeus is on the way to Jerusalem, which means he's following Jesus all the way to the cross through denials and betrayals and false accusations, all the way to a tomb. Can I ask you a question? Had Bartimaeus known what was coming over the next week, would it have made any difference to him? Would it make any difference to you? We not only want to turn Jesus into this idol who exists to make us better, we also want to turn God into this idol that's supposed to give us a blueprint and tell us everything that's supposed to happen next. But he won't. He doesn't. And following Jesus may mean death, and following Jesus could mean cancer, and following Jesus could mean betrayal and denial, and following Jesus could mean saying to people who are asking you, now what was it the Lord said? Let me tell you what the Lord said. You could, as a disciple of Jesus, find yourself in a situation where people right now are saying, how does marriage work? And you say, what did the Lord say? Oh yeah, it's between a man and a woman. And that doesn't go down so well with some people. But being a disciple means you're asking what he said. You could be a disciple of Jesus and some people say, yeah, but I think we should be able to get a divorce. And you say, but what does the Lord say? Because being a disciple means asking the question, but what did the Lord say? And saying what he said. We want a future in which the Lord just spells it all out for us and tells us everything that's going to happen. But being a follower of Jesus means walking into an unknown future knowing that the one who holds the future holds you. And if it means a cross, and if it means a grave, then we keep following joyously because, well, that's what Bartimaeus did. And that means that because we follow Jesus on the road, we are united with Jesus where he's going. We are united with him in his suffering as well as his glory. Because that week, Jesus would sit down with his disciples in the upper room. And then he would wrap himself with a towel and look like a slave. And he would bow down at the feet of his disciples, their dirty feet, and he washed their feet. And at the end of it, Jesus says these words. He says, do you know what I have done to you? He didn't ask them, do you know what I've done for you? He said, do you know what I've done to you? See, when you become a follower of Jesus, he not only does things for you, he does things to you. Or have you discovered that? That when he does stuff, he does it to you. And Jesus said, I've washed your feet. And what that means, my brothers, is that if I, the Lord and Master and the Creator of the whole cosmos, can wash your feet, then if I can wash your feet, there are no feet you cannot wash. None. You are here as living, breathing slaves and foot washers. That means that you should never, ever underestimate the call the Lord has placed on your life and how he will work in it in ways that you don't expect. And you can't measure the call that he has on your life, but the call he has on somebody else's life. Peter tried that. Jesus said to Peter, you follow me. It's going to cost you your whole life. And as soon as Jesus said that to Peter, Peter pointed over at John and said, what about him? Isn't that great? I love that. What about him? And the Lord said, what is that to you? If I want him to live forever, so what? I'm talking to you. Jesus went all De Niro on Peter. I'm talking to you. You follow me. Even if it costs me everything, yes. Cost me my girlfriend, cost me my boyfriend, cost me my career, cost me my plan. Yeah, following Jesus into the unknown. Because the beauty of who he is so wonderful. But what that really looks like means following him on the road to Jerusalem, right on into the church. Because the church is the place where discipleship actually happens. It's here in the church where you're being conformed to the image of Jesus. Discipleship begins with baptism, but it ends, the Bible teaches, with you being conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, God's goal is that at the end of the day, our lives look like Jesus' life. And that means you get to wash feet. Isn't that great? It means you get to love some people who hate. It means that you get to forgive some people who sin against you. It means you get loads of opportunities to volunteer and serve. It means that right here in the church, you will be presented with ample opportunity to love people you don't like, serve in ways you never anticipated, and forgive people who sin against you. Right here. Isn't that great? I just thought I'd mention that to any of you who are thinking about joining. This is where it happens. See, I think we live mythologically imagining that I'll forgive all the people who live down the street from me, but all the people in my church are really good people. Do you have any idea what people do here? Would you like names? I mean, you're going to get the chance to forgive them. You're going to get the chance to serve them. You're going to get the chance to bless them. Or not. You could, of course, when the opportunity arises to forgive somebody who offends you, you could leave and just go to another church. You know, the perfect one. But the problem is, when you get there, you know what you're going to have? The same Jesus who is here is there, and he's going to give you some more opportunities to grow in grace. Beloved, you are following Jesus on the road. You once were blind, but now you see. And you're going to follow him all the way into Jerusalem, all the way into the unknown, all the way to a grave, all the way to the sky. But there's no crown without the cross. And that means that right now, you have to make up your mind to leave some things behind. The bitterness, the unforgiveness, the materialism, and the fear. Leave it behind. Let them put it in a storage bin somewhere. And you follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, grant us eyes to see you so that we will follow you with our brothers and sisters where you lead, all the way to a cross and a grave, and finally to your throne. And this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.